This is Radio Influence. Podcasting redefined. This is the Valor Hour, powered by the law offices of Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl on Radio Influence. Your weekly glimpse inside all things Valor Fights, and a look at what's going on in the rest of the MMA community. Here are your hosts, the president of Valor Fights, Tim Loy, and your color commentator, Casey Oxendine.
Welcome to the Valor Hour. I look into everything Valor Fights, as well as the headlines from combat sports across the world. Thanks for joining us, and remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher. This week, we recap a big week in combat sports action, and plus we look into what is coming up on the horizon, including a sick lineup of October events. I'm Casey Oxendine, joined by the president of Valor Fights, Tim Loy. Tim, the witching hour is among us. We're looking at a big October of fights, of course. We've got Rumble on the River October 7th, and then right on in to Valor Fights October 21st.
Yeah, with a pit stop in between, man. We're right on it. This is kind of the last weekend of stability, I guess you would say, before the shit hits the fan. We got six events in 7 weeks lined up after this one, so I'm gonna enjoy the peacefulness of this weekend while I can, and because I know it's not gonna be lasting for long.
Undoubtedly. Now, last weekend, it was a big weekend for mixed martial arts fighting, combat sports as a whole. Of course, UFC Fight Night 117, St. Preux versus Okami, and that was live from Tokyo, Japan. Saitama, Japan. It was one to remember, of course, Ovince St. Preux defeating Yushin Okami with his signature Von Flue choke, a.k.a. the St. Preux choke. It was a good finish, a good win there for Ovince.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I don't think it really surprised a lot of people that he won. I think he was a pretty heavy favorite there. But at the same time, he won very impressively. And I don't know if there were any strikes thrown the whole time. You know, he got him down, and he was very dominant. And it astounds me that he manages to keep getting this on guy. Not saying that, I mean, he's a beast. Of course, he's got great pressure, I'm sure. But, like, if anybody's training against anything in the lead up to fight OSP, you got to imagine you're working to, not keep your arm over his head like that, right?
Well, I think that's the whole idea. I think a lot of guys, when they see the opportunity to hold on to Ovince and not get pounded, they do it. You know what I mean? And I think that's what happens there. They're looking for the guillotine. They hit the ground, and before they realize it, he's already passing, and they just don't move quick enough to let go of it. And he's ready on it. He snags it, and he taps people day in and day out with that thing. You know, I hear about it. You know, guys talk about training with him and so forth, and he's always hitting it. It's just the way he is, and it's something that will always be a major force in his game. Also, Jessica Andrade defeats Claudio Gadea, a unanimous decision. That was 30-25, 30-26, and 30-27. Any way you cut it, it was all Jessica Andrade. Talk about that one.
It was dominant. Yeah, she really just ragdolled her, man. Gadea didn't look prepared, and really just the most one-sided fight that I've seen her. Even, you know, she held up better against Joanna, honestly. And that said, you know, Jessica, dominant win, and I would have to imagine she's going to, you know, be lined up next, depending on what happens if Rose doesn't get it done, you know.
Undoubtedly, of course, the maestro Dong Hyun Kim defeats Takanori Gomi, TKO round one. Gokhan Saki beats Henrique da Silva by round one knockout, 4 minutes and 45 seconds into that. And it goes on and on. Anything that stands out to you, Tim?
And Gomi's got to be done. It's getting painful to watch, you know. I mean, that guy that beat him was, you know, he's tough, but that's not a top level. That's very much a mid-level guy, you know, and he torched him, you know. And if I'm not mistaken, I think that's five in a row, maybe all five by knockout losses. So I'd have to imagine we will probably say we've seen the last of Gomi. And I mean, you know, he may pop up in like a Ryzen fight or something like that, but it's getting painful there. Saki, you know, that was, you know, that those guys, that was a pretty tough fight for it just to be his second fight, coming in 0-1 in MMA, obviously a world-class kickboxer. But once he started connecting there, De Silva really didn't have much answer for it, and he ended up getting knocked out. Beyond that, man, it was kind of, you know, a bunch of Asian guys, a lot of decisions. GCA for my guy, he looked good. He beat Sasaki, the guy that just beat Scoggins, and he choked him, you know, towards the end of the first round. But other than that, pretty, you know, nothing too noteworthy.
Well, of course, that was September 22nd. Moving on to Saturday, September 23rd, it was Bellator's turn. Bellator 183, Henderson versus Pitbull. And you saw it. Patricky Friere defeats Benson Henderson by split decision. It was a very close one. And that, of course, rounded out that big card. Of course, we also saw Paul Daly defeat Lorenz Larkin, TKO round two. And then Roy Nelson defeats Javier Ayala by unanimous decision as well. What stands out to you, Tim?
You know, that was a pretty fun card. The main event wasn't it wasn't thrilling, you know, but I honestly thought that Hendo won. I thought that Ben Henderson did enough to win, personally. But that said, it was neither guy really went after it. It felt like, you know, it was a lot of just kind of nip and tuck. You know, Lorenz Larkin was winning that fight until he got caught. But, yeah, he got caught good. Daly knocked him out cold, you know. So that was a come-from-behind win there. And then Big Country and Javi Ayala was awesome. That was, like, a great fight. It was – the scores looked crazy. I mean, you know, there's a 29-28. There's a 30-26, you know. They're all over the place. But that was a really fun fight. Both guys had – you know, Nelson seemed to always kind of – be getting the better of all the rounds, but there was like a time in every round that Ayala like almost knocked him out, you know. So that was a pretty fun one, you know. That's pretty much it for that one. Everything else is, you know, whatever.
Well, you know, we talked about it last week. In your opinion, of course, we had UFC Friday night, we had Bellator Saturday night. We were able to get a good look at both. In your opinion, who won this past weekend?
I thought that the Bellator card was probably more entertaining. The main event, though, well, you know, I mean, the Bellator main event wasn't very exciting. But then for us, it's always awesome to see OSP win. But at the same, if you're just like average MMA fan, that main event was pretty less than stellar, you know. And so I got to give it to Bellator on this one, as far as like my entertainment value.
Undoubtedly. Well, we have one more bit of news to get to. Of course, that was Warrior FC 137 Showdown, and that went down Saturday night. And for that, we will have with us Jimbo Collins, of course, the president of Warrior FC. How you doing, Jimbo?
Hey, Casey, I'm doing good, man. I'm tickled today. I've got some good news today.
Oh, good news is always a good thing.
Yeah, Louisville lost their head coach. No, I'm a Kentucky fan. The only thing we hate worse than beating Tennessee is, worse than Tennessee is Louisville.
Oh, wow. Well, aren't you a national championship basketball coach yourself?
That's right. That's right.
So I would think that you would have to be on the short list.
Well, you know, I've got some phone calls today and some people messaging me, you know, but I just don't know. I don't think I could go there, man. UK ever opens up. Once Coach Cal's gone, I might consider a move.
I got you.
That'd take a lot of money to jump ship like that.
Well, Jimbo, last Saturday night, it was a big night for Warrior FC. It was Warrior 137 Showdown. And, of course, in addition to a great lineup of action, of course, we had the Hall of Fame induction. It was emotional, if you will. But it was great to see a lot of old faces.
Oh man, it was nostalgic, emotional. You know, it was just crazy, man. I mean, it was just seeing those guys again, man. You know, Angelo, I hadn't seen him in, I guess it's been close to 10 years, and it was awesome just to be around those guys for a little while.
Yeah, and of course we had the Moondog reffing a little bit too. That was cool to have him in action. Rob Mooney.
Oh yeah, it's always great to have Mooney around. You know, we put him in the Hall of Fame last year, so he was there. You know, it's not been as long since I saw him, but yeah, and last time I saw him, there was a lot more of him.
Now, let me ask you this: has there ever been a two-time Hall of Fame inductee for Warrior FC?
Well, you know, there was one guy, and it was a jiu-jitsu coach out of Tennessee named Casey Oxendine.
Oh my goodness, gosh! Things you find out on the Valor Hour. Well, let's head right on into the card. We're gonna run it down. Of course, the first fight, Javier Carbajal takes out John Moss round one, a minute and 56 seconds in, and it turned into a bit of a slugfest. I mean, it wasn't, you know, of course, Carbajal is the pedigreed wrestler, but it turned out to be a little bit of a slugfest. Ultimately, it did go to the ground, and Carbajal prevailed, but what a fight.
You know what? I think it was so hard for over a year now to find Javier a fight, and everybody, they come back to that thing, you know, he's a wrestler, he's got all his wrestling pedigree, wrestling coach, and blah, 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 and, you know, that was their reasoning and not taking the fight. And I think Javier kind of took that, and that's the reason why he did stand and bang for as long as he did. You know, he's like, show everybody, man, I'm not just a wrestler. And, you know, he did pretty good standing up. And then I think he decided to take it to his wheelhouse, and, you know, it wasn't good for the other guy, for Moss, once it went down, so.
Yeah, and I'll say this too. Moss had a little bit of size on Carbajal. Of course, Carbajal pedigreed, but at the same time, I could see Carbajal as going as light as flyweight, in my estimation. I mean, he's a much smaller individual, but utterly, utterly dominant in that fight. Moving on.
Hey, Casey, we should do what we started doing. Let's see what Jimbo, like, if Jimbo, like, for the winners, you know, what maybe you'd like to see next.
Yeah, absolutely. Jimbo, who do you want to see next?
Well, Carbajal. Well, you said, you know, you think Carbajal be a flyweight, and he wants to go to 125. That's where he prefers to fight at, because, you know, he weighed him with all his clothes on, and no weight cut at all at 138. So he wants to fight at 125, and I'd like to find him an opponent with a couple of fights, maybe two or three fights, a couple wins, and at 125, and see, you know, test him a little bit better, and, you know, maybe, you know, it's an amateur, so with his pedigree, you know, if he gets a significant win at 125, then maybe we start talking about a title fight for the kid. I mean, he's good.
Yeah, and, you know, when, if you talk about that, obviously probably not their next fight, but, you know, there are names like Hunter Thomas and Diego Bautista. We saw that one a few weeks back, and that was an awesome fight. So a lot of good flyweights out there doing it, you know, in grand fashion. So for sure we'll keep our eyes out for Javier Carbajal. Now, moving on to our second bout of the evening, it was George Campbell. He advances to 6-3 in his mixed martial arts career as he defeats Tyler Johnson. Round one, TKO, or submission to strikes, rather, just 25 seconds in.
Yeah, you know, I had never met Tyler, and I didn't realize the training experience and size he was giving up. You know, he was heavier, but, you know, George was nearly a foot taller with a lot of range. You know, I think it would have taken a lot for Tyler to pull off that upset. And, you know, kudos to him for, you know, seeing George and, you know, obviously looking at film and then deciding to still go through with the fight. And, you know, there's
plenty that don't. And,
yeah, it was so, you know, George had a long layoff and he didn't know what he was going to be like coming back. But, you know, George will – in his next fight, it will be a much more experienced opponent and tougher.
Well, speaking of that next fight, when should we expect that to be, and what would you like to see?
Yeah, that's a guy that had been pretty active, it seems like, up until he wasn't, and now, you know, is he back in the groove, or is it, you know, is it kind of one shot and another break?
Well, actually, George wants to go down to 155, so he wants to try that weight cut. Once George is comfortable getting to 155, I'm, you know, probably after the first of the year, I think George Campbell and Mark Jastow, or Jostow, I don't even know how to pronounce that correctly. I've heard it said 40 different ways, but our new 155 champion versus George would be a really nice matchup, I think.
Absolutely, and we'll get to that very, very shortly because we saw him in action as well. Moving on, of course, it was Brandon Bolling taking on Corey Bentley. And Brandon Bolling, he advances, gets the first win of his mixed martial arts career by TKO a minute and 28 seconds into round one. Talk about it, Jimbo.
Hey, you know, Corey Bentley drove up from Alabama. He was here for a few days and trained with Viper Pitt while he was here. And I think he had a good experience. And, there really wasn't a lot to for him to study on Bolling because, you know, Bolling only had the one fight and it was his first fight. And you interviewed him in the cage afterwards and he told you, you know, he's a different fighter now because that was just, you know, he had just trained in a little boxing and decided to do MMA at that point. And, from my perspective, Bolling was really impressive. I mean, he was well prepared. He looked for a kick. He got it. He caught it, did exactly what he prepared to do. And, I mean, it was a well-executed game plan. He looked sharp, man. I mean, I was really impressed with Bolling in that fight.
Yeah, I was too, honestly. I thought going into it, he definitely showed me a lot more than I expected. You know, he's obvious that he has improved a whole lot in the break that he took between, his two MMA fights. So I was really impressed with him too, man. He looked really strong and aggressive. And Bentley's a guy that's very tall and long, you know, so you got to close that gap pretty quick. And he did.
Jimbo, what do you think is next for Brandon Bolling?
Well, he's a Bell County native, and that's really close to Harlan. So I think he wants to fight in Harlan on November the 11th. So if possible, we'll try to get him on that card. And, if something doesn't pan out for that, then maybe we can get him on Border Wars versus one of the Tennessee guys on November the 18th. But he's looking to get back in there pretty soon, I think.
Very cool. All right, moving on. We spoke about him earlier, Mark Justal, taking on Taylor Moat. This was one that I considered to be very, very well matched. It was Mark Justal with the submission victory, RNC, 2 minutes and 58 seconds into round one. Pretty good fight there, Jimbo.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you know, Moat probably was winning the fight, you know, right up until about the last, 30 seconds, 45 seconds of the fight, you know, and Moat, he was well prepared, knew what he wanted to do, and, he took Justal down right away and worked from the top. Both those guys come from good camps, and they were both, deserving of that fight. And, Justal took the fight on, 2 days' notice because we had such issues with, fighters backing out and not getting their medicals in, but on the other hand, Mo fought a guy who he hadn't been preparing for until he got, final word 2 days before that fight too. So, it was a tough situation for both of them. I appreciate that they both brought everything they had and left it all in the cage. And it was a good fight. You know, it was a first round finish, but I mean, it was good all the way up until the end. So, hats off to Mark, man. That was a big win for him. That's two big wins in a row for him. If you go back to Border Wars, kind of the same thing. He was losing early and then came back and won. And, he may be looking at a new nickname, Comeback Kid or something like that. We never know.
Absolutely. Of course, we're going to see Tyler Moat in action at Rumble on the River on October 7th. What is next in your estimation for Mark Justal?
Well, Mark told me right after the fight that, he's working out of town on hurricane relief. So, weight cutting will be tough for him until after the first of the year. So he said he would fight if called upon at 170, but to defend at 155, it would probably be after the first of the year. So, we may just let him, if he wants to, just concentrate on his work. I know that's a very honorable thing and a very good thing for him to be doing the hurricane relief. So, proud to have him on our team. And, when he's ready, we're ready. So, we'll let him choose what he's going to do.
Well, you'd mentioned to George Campbell, so that could possibly, you know, be something that arises maybe at a higher weight, 170 pounds. But until then, we'll keep guessing. Moving on, it was Mike Douglas in the feature bout, title fight, if you will, facing Timothy Engel. This is one we were all three anticipating, highly anticipated fight. And it was Mike Douglas with a round one triangle choke submission at a minute 48 seconds. Very exciting.
Man, it was, you know, and it was exactly what I expected, other than the fact that it ended in the first round. You know, I thought that Timmy would press and come forward and try to put Mike down on his back. And, you know, I thought Mike would work from his back, and actually I thought Mike would do a lot of damage from his back, you know, with punches and just, you know, work off his back. But, you know, there's not a lot to do. Not a lot to do when you get caught in that triangle, man. If you get it, let it get in that deep, you know, you see what happens. I was calling that fight with you, Casey, and, you know, you could see that Timmy was turning the wrong way when he was trying to escape, and you called it, man, and right almost as soon as you said that, next thing you know, he's tapping out. So, you know, you just got to be prepared for that. If you want to stay on top, you know, against those jiu-jitsu guys, you got to watch for those submissions from the bottom.
Well, and of course, Mike Douglas retains that title and goes on to continue to do big things. What is next for Mike Douglas?
Well, Douglas is, he's a local guy too. So, you know, in this Corbin area, so we may look to try to get him on Border Wars, against one of Valor's, you know, guys, in a double title match or something. I got to talk to Tim about that, but, definitely would love to have him representing us and fighting on Border Wars again. So, you know, and this guy, when he is, you've seen it, like when he's on, I mean, he's as sharp as they come. I mean, his striking is really precise. He's got good jiu-jitsu, so, you know, sky's the limit for that kid, man.
That may be a good one. Him and David Robbins might be a good one.
Yeah, that's very good. You know, it's
close records. A good one, you know? Both guys kind of floating around between 55, 70, whatever. But Douglas has fought at 45, but he's huge, 45.
Yeah, I mean, you can see he looked bigger than Engel.
Yeah, I thought he was quite a bit bigger than Engel, and Engel had been all the way up to light heavyweight.
Yeah. So, Douglas, yeah, he carries his weight really well. He's very, very fit guy. And, that may be something we look into. I think that's a good matchup, Tim.
Yeah. I think that'd be a fun one. I think that both guys are well versed on the ground, but would probably, you know, ultimately prefer to trade. And I think it'd be exciting either way.
Yeah.
All right. Well, moving on, it was our feature bout. And it was Jared Short taking on Justin Collette, middleweight gold on the line there. And Jared Short finishes Collette TKO due to strikes in round two, 37 seconds in. Jimbo, this was one of my favorite fights of the night. I'm a huge fan of Jared Short, just in his style. You know, he's kind of the underdog type fighter just to look at him. But Justin Collette, one of those guys who started out as a softy and has turned out to be a true warrior, no pun intended. And this one was a war.
You know, this fight was really good. I think it ended up being the longest fight of the night, actually, going into the second round. But, this was, I don't really know what to say, man. I mean, I thought Jared Short would come in and try to take him down and try to pound him out on the ground, but Justin Collette looked so good in the stand-up in that first round, and he was, you know, keeping Jared at arm's length and scoring. And I actually gave, if I were scoring, I would have given Justin the first round. So, man, I was proud of that guy. I mean, he's come a long way. You've seen him fight when he was, you know, just a pudgy little teenager, and man, he's chiseled his body up. He's training with Scott Hope, and he's come a long way. And Jared Short, you know, he's right on the verge of taking that step to the next level and fighting for money. So, you know, those guys really brought it and really performed for the crowd that night. It was great.
Yeah, I was really impressed with both guys too, man. Collette is one of those guys that it's cool to see a guy hang with it so long and evolve and get good, you know.
Brandon Bell is the epitome of that.
Sure, yeah. And Short as well, man. You know, Short started as, you know, when Casey and I called that first fight of his against Pennington, he was an underdog in appearance for sure, but his wrestling was so good. And that kind of become his calling card. But in this one, he was, you know, he was landing some strikes there in the second round. And it one, I mean, I think he just knocked his mouthpiece out. But at one point, I thought he'd broken Collette's jaw. But I think he just knocked his mouthpiece out. But it's obvious that Short has very heavy hands when he can land.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Well, let me ask you this, Jimbo. What do you think is next? I mean, of course, you mentioned potentially a pro turn for Jared Short, you know, down the road. But particularly, any names that stand out that you would like to see as a potential opponent for Short?
Well, you know, Kentucky's such a funny state on being eligible to turn pro, and they take into consideration so many different things. You know, it may be a situation where Jared turns pro in Tennessee first or another state first. So may not be a Kentucky guy. You know, there's that division, you know, light heavyweight. And actually I think Jared would prefer to fight at 185. So, you know, that's be tough. You know, I think he's ready. You know, I'd have to give it some thought on who I would like to see him debut against personally. You know, you always want him to have a reasonable debut fight, you know, where they have a chance to win, but, you know, no cupcakes either. So, because, you know, the fans only win if the fights are fair. So I don't know. I'd have to give it more thought, but, I definitely, you know, if it were me making the decision, I think he's ready for a debut level pro fight.
I would agree, man. I can't imagine, you know, not to question anyone, but I can't imagine what more beyond a 7-1 amateur record one would need. And especially just seeing some of the others that I do see turn pro. So I think he's definitely ready as well. If he were to be held back another one, though, I would have to imagine a fight with Jason Chavis would be really good.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's like a real fun matchup right there.
Of course, both of them have fought Caleb Langford, so, you know, in a row. So you were we were able to watch exactly sort of, you know, how that could potentially play out. So, yeah, I agree with you. That would be very, very exciting. Or maybe as a pro debut, honestly. Sure.
Although Chavis may be like a forever amateur. He never seems to express any sort of interest in going pro.
You know, what was so crazy, not to get off topic, but, you know, Chavis was so so humble in his last fight, in his post-fight interview. And I think he almost kind of put it out there like that I'm not worthy, when in reality he is worthy, very much so. You know, he's one of those guys that's been around a long time. That's, you know, that one of the best grapplers from the golden age, you know, that I can, you know, I've been around. So, but again, moving on. Let's talk about the co-main event here. It was Stone Beverly taking on Scotty Henderson, both guys from tough, tough camps. Of course, Scotty Henderson from Iron Lock and Stone Beverly from Viper Pit. Stone takes it by submission to strikes 2 minutes and 41 seconds into round one, but it wouldn't be the typical way you would see a submission to strikes. He locked on that triangle choke in Stone Beverly fashion and proceeds to pound Scotty Henderson into submission. So I don't know if the choke got him or if the strikes did.
Yeah, you know, in his debut fight in Harlan, I think you guys might have been there. That's exactly what he did. You know, he could have secured a submission, but chose to be more entertaining and do some striking there and allow that fight to go into second round, and then the guy didn't come out for the second round. But, you know, it's the same thing. You know, Stone had that triangle choke, and it looked like he could have very well finished the fight there. But, you know, he likes to get those hammer fists and drop those bombs. So, you know, and the crowd likes to see that too. So I think deep down, Stone Beverly is an entertainer, and he likes to have fun in the cage. And, you know, that's the kind of guy you want, you know, that's the kind of guy the fans pay to come and see. So, you know, like you said, it was typical Stone Beverly fashion. And, you know, kudos to Scott Henderson. I mean, he was the champ. Very rarely do you see the champion an underdog, but he knew he was an underdog. He wanted to defend against Stone, you know, with all the weight issues and people backing out issues and issues we dealt with. You know, there was a talk of moving Scotty up to fight at 155 in that fight and bringing somebody else to fight Stone. But, you know, Scott said, I want to fight Stone because he's a national prospect. And, you know, I want to test myself against him. So, you know, I mean, both those guys brought it. Scott did well for, you know, first couple minutes of that fight. And then, you know, Stone took over. So it was really a fun fight. And, you know, big things are coming for Stone, I think, real soon.
Yeah, always first. Exciting to see Stone in there, man. He like you said, he's a showman. He's he likes to put on a show for the fans, and he definitely does a good job of keeping it exciting no matter what. So yeah, great victory for him.
And the first bit of gold around the waist of Stone Beverly as well, and you could tell he was very, very proud of it. A beautiful belt, if you will. You know, honestly, what is next for Stone Beverly in your estimation, Jibbo?
Well, you know, like you said, he's got that gold around his waist, and he's hungry for more. He wants he wants another title shot. He wants to go up to 45 and fight Jared King at 45. So I don't know if we're going to be able to make that fight happen soon because of King's got some jiu-jitsu obligations with his coach. But if not, maybe, you know, we'll either see Stone in Harlan on November the 11th or on Border Wars on November the 18th. So one of those two for sure. We'll see Stone and his brother Ken, I'm sure, on the same card.
All right. Well, moving on, it is main event time. Of course, it was Ben Rowland taking on Anthony Trotter. He was defending the Warrior FC heavyweight strap. And he would go on to win by TKO ref stoppage at 3 minutes and 16 seconds into round one, but a little bit of back and forth action there.
Yeah. You know, Trotter had really good stand up and, he was able to keep Ben away from him early, and, he scored a few punches, and, I think he had a good game plan. And then, you know, Ben had a good game plan too. And, you know, Ben's a monster. He finally landed a couple punches and, got his mitts on Trotter against the cage, and I think he landed a knee. You know, I haven't watched the replay yet, but I think he landed a knee in the clinch, and that really hurt Trotter. And then, you know, Ben stumbled going backwards, and first time I had ever seen him on the ground, certainly the first time he'd been on his back in a pro fight. You know, and Trotter was on top, and it looked like Ben was in trouble there for a minute, and then Trotter eventually went for a knee bar, and that was ultimately the end of the fight, because when he didn't get it, you know, he was hung out to dry with Ben over top of him, and he wasn't going anywhere. Ben's so strong, and he landed so many unanswered blows. You know, Trotter tried to fight back, but, you know, Ben's a beast. You know, his nickname fits, and now he's 4-0. He's just getting better every time he gets in there.
Yeah, at 4-0, that's a pretty substantial record there for a heavyweight. What do you think is next for Ben Rowland?
Well, you know, I would love to have Ben on Border Wars represent Kentucky against one of Tim's, you know, big heavyweights. So I'm going to do everything I can to see if we can make that happen. You know, he's got offers to fight in South Carolina, I think, so may have to go up there and thumb wrestle another promoter, see, you know, paper, rock, scissors or something. I don't know. But yeah, you know, in all seriousness, if I can make it happen, we'll have Ben on Border War. So yeah, that's my goal. So that's what I'm shooting for.
All right.
I thought Ben looked good, man. I thought he did. Trotter, you know, questionable tactic going for the leg there. You know, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. And when Ben Rowan's the one yielding that sword, I certainly never want to put myself in that kind of position. If I weren't able to hit a leg lock, to be pounded like he was. And so, you know, when it's all playing out in live action, I'm sure, you know, hindsight's 20/20, but I think that was ultimately his undoing, you know.
You know, the heavyweight division, you know, is, is minimal. You know what I mean? Even national, you know, nationally. And so there are so many opportunities for heavyweights. That being said, are there any names, either of you guys, both of you guys, that stand out as good opponents, opponents you would like to see Ben Rolling facing off against?
Well, down here, I think that you've kind of got a little log jam of heavyweights right now with someone trying to emerge between a group, including, you know, guys like Isaac Fine, Chandler Cole, Dustin Dyer. And Dustin Dyer and Chandler Cole are fighting, you know, here in just a few weeks. And so I would have to imagine the winner of that would kind of become the front runner as far as kind of the guy emerging down from my end. I think that Fine is probably the best of the three, but hasn't been active really, and hasn't, you know, hasn't really kind of been relevant on the scene now in you know, nearly 2 years. So I think that you know, the winner of Dyer and Cole will have a quality win coming out of that fight, and would be, you know, probably, in my opinion, the best fit.
Of course, and always Tate. Of course, Tate back at Valor 32. We saw that.
Yeah. Frank Tate does nothing but nearly kill men in my cage, it seems like.
Yeah. So that's another one it'd be interesting to see. But, you know, those heavyweights, those are the ones that people come to watch. You know, I've always said this. I'm a grappling and fight enthusiast. I know little man mixed martial arts, but when it comes down to it, I love to watch the heavyweights. They're the most entertaining because there's the most horsepower. You know, it's like watching a big Chevelle Super Sport drag racing down the road. You know, it's just pure power and unbridled force. So that being said, that rounds up the talk for Warrior FC 137 Showdown. 138 coming up soon. That's going to be in Harlan, Jimbo. I know you're very excited for it, as well as Border Wars coming up after that. Real quick, I'm going to give you a chance to plug both of those formally. You know, give us anything that particularly stands out in those cards and what we need to be looking for.
Well, in Harlan, you know, we're still working on the card. We're going to have Timmy Engel probably headline that card as an amateur. Looking at an all-amateur card, unless something changes. There's a possibility, like I said, that the Beverly brothers choose to fight there instead of Border Wars, but I'd rather have them fight Border Wars if possible. So the Harlan card, you know, be an amateur card, hopefully, with Timmy Engel on the headline. And because, you know, that's his hometown, he'd be bouncing back from a tough title fight loss. And looking at a amateur heavyweight tournament for the title and an amateur light heavyweight tournament for the title. So there's your field of big boys right there, Casey. That'll be lots of leather slinging right there with the big guys. And then for Border Wars, you know, I only got one plan. That's to, you know, go in there and smack Tim Lloyd's boys around again.
Oh, man. It's already started.
We are gluttons for punishment.
Well, Jimbo, thank you so much for joining us. That does it for the Warrior FC 137 post-fight analysis. Thank you so much, and we look forward to seeing you very, very soon.
All right. Thanks, guys. Y'all have a great night.
You too. All right. That does it for this week's news, but it is time once again for the Valor Hour Q&A segment. Of course, that is where you, the listeners, ask Valor Fights President Tim Loy your question, and he answers on air. Tim, you ready for this?
Let's do it.
You've not looked over any of these questions yet, have you?
No, I just, like, they literally got sent over, like, I mean, we were going on the air as they came over.
All right, well, get ready. Here it goes. Question number one. Tim, rumor has it John Pierce is on an October Bellator card. How excited are you to see that, and how proud are you to be part of this journey?
Yeah, man. You know, he's JP is one of those guys that always, you know, you're always going to get a show out of him. You know, win or lose, he's going to come out there, he's going to go hard, he's going to fight tough guys, and, you know, he's – every time you see him, he kind of evolves a little bit and he gets a little better at certain things. And, you know, it's just a great motor, great chin. And, you know, so definitely excited to see him get that opportunity. They haven't announced who it's going to be, but I can tell everyone that it's going to be good. It's a really good fight. And, you know, it'll be the headline at Talladega there. And it is definitely going to be worth checking out. It's a very tough fight for both guys, very dangerous fight for both guys. And I can't see either one having an easy go of it. You know what I mean? And, yeah, real proud of him, man. We're excited.
Well, I'm just ready to sweat, bro.
We can't nearly sweat like we did last time, man. Not in October, surely, right? Of course, it's in the asphalt around us. Maybe it's worse. You know?
You never know. We're in Alabama. All right. Well, moving on. Question number two. Are you more excited about UFC 216 or Bellator 184 next weekend?
Oh, man. They're both big cards. They are both big cards. You know, 216, that's a good one. You know, that's one that I've been waiting for a while, you know, because of the Ferguson and Lee fight. But beyond that, it's not just stellar, you know, that it's got that Ray Borg and DJ fight that got moved off when it got canceled. But I wasn't pumped about that anyway. Derek Lewis and Verdum's going to be pretty good. But, you know, the rest of it isn't like great pay-per-view worthy stuff, in my opinion, you know. Yeah, that's a hard one to call, man. The Bellator 184 has also got good fights. You know, it's got Dantas and Caldwell, which is going to be good. Of course, Daniel Strauss, we haven't seen him get the fight in a while against Emmanuel Sanchez. That's another good fight. You know, Pat Curran's fighting. So there's some good prospects. But I guess I've still got to give it to the UFC on this one just because of the main event is like a, you know, that's a big fight.
Yeah, Derek Lewis and Verdun is one I particularly like because I like big guys, but they're very contrasting styles, and I think it could be fun, especially if it stays on the feet. All right, well, moving on, question number three. How do you feel, Tim, about Valor 45 and how it's shaping up?
I'm pumped real big for it. I mean, you know, this is kind of the first, like, big show we've done now since the show with Conflict at the end of July. So it's been a couple months since we've, you know, done it up on a big one, and this is going to be good. I mean, we've got, you know, six pro fights, all should really deliver, a ton of amateur fights, too many amateur fights, and just some really hot prospects, and it's going to be packed out. It's going to be a great show, and it's been, you know, anytime we come down to the Chattanooga area, it's always exciting. It's one of the, you know, in this game, it's hit and miss sometimes, and sometimes you miss on some places, but, you know, Chattanooga is one of those towns that we've just never really missed there. We've always delivered a good show. And so, we're excited for it.
Undoubtedly. And of course, I mean, this whole fall to winter lineup is sick anyway. You're talking Chattanooga, Corbin, Nashville, you name it. I mean, you're going to be representing, you know, many of the top, regions in the South right here in the Southeast. But that being said, our next question kind of expands on that. Tim, what are your plans for Valor in 2018?
You know, it's coming around the corner, huh? You know, there are small goals, really. I want to keep doing what we're doing. I want to, you know, keep our level where it is, at least, and elevate where we can. You know, this year saw us get into Kentucky and Georgia. So, you know, so we kind of expanded into two states. I got my Kentucky promoter's license in the mail last week. So that's cool. And so, you know, that's what we've kind of done this year. Next year, I'd like to, you know, maybe expand two more states, you know, to bring it to a total of five. You know, that would be a good attainable goal for 2018, and really just continue to grow the brand, get more and more people excited about it, and from all over, you know, not just here locally, but, you know, everywhere.
All right. Well, moving on. Do you think we'll be seeing Valor on Flow in and beyond 2018? Of course, talking about Flow Combat, the video platform.
Oh, man, that's a curveball. It's hard to say, man. You know, I certainly wouldn't put it out of the realm of possibility. You know, it's we really haven't started negotiations for next year. So it's really just hard to say where we'll be. We're always looking to expose more and more people to the brand, and in whatever platform that happens to be is going to, you know, to get the brand out to the most people, and get as much exposure for the fighters, and at the same time have that reciprocated by our broadcast partner. You know, wherever that happens to be is where we'll be.
Undoubtedly. All right. Moving on to the next question. This one's kind of fun. It was sent in by a man named Big Sexy, and he asked, just how sexy is Big Sexy?
Got to be talking about Billy Swanson, I'm guessing there. Well, Billy's a big boy, you know, and he fancies himself quite sexy. But, oh, man, you know, he's, you know, we're excited to see Billy. You know, he's going to be on that same card in Talladega, get a nice opportunity there as he's kind of starting to wind up his amateur career. And it's kind of cool to just see Billy come out of his shell here this last year. He's really just become more of a showman, if you will. You know, the first year of his career, he was, you know, he's a big, talented wrestler, you know, but yeah. Now there's so much more.
Yeah, undoubtedly, man. All right. Well, we got one more question. I guess it's for both of us, sort of. Have either of the hosts of the Valor Hour ever fought in an MMA fight? If so, when? If not, why not?
Well, I have not. You know, I kind of came into this business a bit late to not saying, you know, when the age is this number, there's guys that are older than me fighting now. I mean, some guys like Chris Butler and guys like that go out there and do it, you know, and props to them. But man, you know, I honestly got into this business like on the business end of it from the rip. And so, I would never have time to in my life to devote to train enough to, you know, be able to get in there, I feel like, and do it justice. You know, had I gotten into things earlier, I probably would have done it once, to say that I did it once. But really, the main reason, I just got into it too late.
Yeah. Well, everybody knows I did it. And I did, but it's been, it was 2004 was my last fight. So what is that? Almost 14 years?
14. Yeah. 13. Now,
since I fought, you know, and I did it because, you know, I saw Royce Gracie, you know, on the original UFCs, and I saw Marco Huas, who was, you know, eventually became an instructor of mine that I got belted under eventually. And I saw that I wanted to learn how to do the grappling arts and the striking arts and be able to use it to fight, you know. And I still to this day, I see jiu-jitsu less as a, you know, as a I see it as more as a tool for being able to fight and defend yourself. And that's how I teach my students and that sort of thing. And I enjoy every moment that I had inside the cage, but I now enjoy coaching and I enjoy talking about the fights and analyzing them. And had I continued to fight past 2004, I probably wouldn't have the brain power left to do what I do today. So I think I made the correct decision. So that being that does it for another segment of Valor Hour Q&A. Remember, everyone, send in your questions and comments, and we will discuss those on air with Valor Fights President Tim Loy. Now, without further ado, we have a big lineup of guests here tonight, and let's get on to those right now. We are joined by Fatini Candris, 4-3 amateur mixed martial artist out of Fitness Edge MMA in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And she prepares to face Yency Alcantara for the Bar Battles flyweight title in the co-main event of Rumble on the River. And that goes down this October 7th. Fatini, thank you for joining us tonight.
Well, thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure, Fatini. You know, we're coming to your neck of the woods here, and just man, now at this point, we're just like a week and a half away. You know, and you're gonna be facing off against Yency Alcantara. Not a lot known about her. She fought for me actually in June, and unfortunately, I don't know why that video got funky, but we couldn't seem to post it up because it got lost in the shuffle. But you know, that being her first fight, there wasn't a lot to see. She took the girl down, pounded her out, but she was quite a bit difference in in training, I think, at that point. Any thoughts on the match? I know it's hard to really kind of give much of a breakdown of someone you don't know too much about, but, you know, Alcantara is, 1-0, a transplant here from Venezuela, actually, and working on getting the ability to stay here permanently, and that's been a bit of a hurdle for her. It's a fight that, we're excited for. Again, towards the top of the card, we're always trying to put the females in as much of a spotlight as we can.
Well, she comes from a good school. I know that. I definitely look up to one of her mentors, Amy Coleman, who is actually in Invicta, which is pretty exciting for me. The girls out of Tennessee, they're always tough. They're good girls, you know. They train. They come ready to fight. And I really don't know a whole lot about her, but, you know, it's all about fighting your own fight and being prepared myself. So, and I'm always prepared to come out there and fight.
We know that's right. So anything different this training camp, you know, is that or kind of same old, same old?
No, I always try to work on something new. I try to sharpen up my tools, you know, make sure I'm working on things I need to and expanding. You know, it's martial arts. You don't just want to focus on one thing. So definitely trying to become a more well-rounded fighter. You know, I'm not preparing just for this fight. I'm preparing for the next one and the next one and the next one and as many as I can get. So definitely always adding new things in there. You know, the better you get, the harder it gets. So it's definitely been challenging.
You know, you are known. You're one of those fighters that is known to be very, very tough and kind of, you know, smash mouth, push forward. That being said, you know, you had four fights in a row there that went the decision. You went, you know, all four or all three rounds rather. And, you know, a long night. That wasn't the case in your last outing. And you finished early in the first round, TKO. How does it feel to go ahead and get them out of there and save a little bit of that time, you know, head on out and get something to eat rather than going the full distance each and every fight?
It's a funny feeling, you know, you work so hard and everyone's like, oh, you know, you went out there, you got done, it was so quick. And it's like, do you know how many hours went into that? Into those, you know, few minutes of time, how much work, it's just, you know, some people can't fathom how much of it, you know, you look at a finish like that and you're like, wow, just, it's amazing. It's a good feeling, you know. It's sometimes, you know, it's hard to believe. I mean, I'm not sure I realized what was going on when it was. And was definitely excited when it happened.
Well, of course, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, this is a little bit of a different scenario than a lot of people have competed in before. I have had some outdoor events before, and they're always a lot of fun. Is this the first time you fought, in an outdoor event? We're doing this at Crab Catchers, which is going to be a really cool, environment, a cool festive atmosphere. You know, have you ever been, been a part of something like that?
Actually, my very first fight was outside. It was an event that Michael Allen put on. And I actually fought up and weighed because I wasn't able to find anybody at 125. So can't say I remember too much about it, but it was, of course, a 3-round brawl. And, you know, the elements don't necessarily affect me. I mean, I'm not too sure I feel much anything when I'm out there. You know, it's in your head, you're just out there to do a job and get it done, you know, no matter what the circumstances.
Well, this will be, the title is on the line, so this will be for the bar battles, flyweight belt, and you're doing it this time in your hometown, right in front of all your friends and family, and, you know, this is one thing, man, one thing that always stood out to me, win or lose, you've never been stopped, and like I said it before, you're very, very durable. That's one thing that you definitely bring to the table. All the other things, if you're a fan, you know, considering going to this event and you see that Fatini Kandris is the co-main event of the show, what are you going to point out as the reason that they need to grab the ticket and watch this big co-main event?
Just I'm going to put on a show. I'm going to fight. I'm not going to give up. It's something I don't do, you know, so they can always be guaranteed. I'm never going to look for the easy win or the quick win or I'm just going to go out there and put it all out there.
Well, Casey kind of hit the nail on the head, I got to say there, because you know, I have not ever seen one of your fights be a boring fight. It's one that I always make sure I'm at the cage for because I know it's going to be good. And, you know, in the last fight, I was kind of guilty of kind of pigeonholing you in as a grappler in our kind of breakdown of that. And you really kind of showed me up and showed, you know, that you could strike too, you know. So definitely you can tell that you are evolving with each fight. You're getting better and adding new tools to your belt, if you will. So that's definitely exciting.
Well, real quick, Fatini, I'm going to give you a chance. You've got a huge number of followers. You're possibly one of the most popular fighters on the Grand Strand, bar none. You know, talk about the people, all the shout-outs you need to get, give, the love, the thanks. And then also, as always, your social media plugs where we can find you and follow you and keep up to speed with Fatini Candris.
Well, I definitely have a great following, and I think about it all the time, how blessed I am that I have a group of people who, honestly, I don't think they care whether I win or lose. They're just excited to see me out there. They see me, and they're putting in the work, and, you know, they're a part of it. They're in there working next to me and helping me out, and they're just happy to see me out there doing what I love. So I'm very fortunate and blessed in that sense. Definitely have a ton of sponsors. People have definitely stood behind me. Definitely first mode, Crab Catchers. Great place to go eat some seafood. Locally owned by some great people. King Sushi, Bully's Pub and Grill, Dino's Pancake House, Plantation Pancake House, The Island Bar in Surfside Beach, Dream Vacations, Edge Landscaping, Keith Hair Performance Training, of course my gym, Fitness Edge MMA, and Grand Strand Jiu Jitsu and Crisco Boxing. So you can follow me on Facebook. It's Fotini Candris. And, you know, I'm not really good about the Twitter and the Instagram.
All right. Fotini Candris. Fotini Candris returns to action live at Rumble on the River this October 7th. Remember, get your tickets at events.com. And, of course, that takes place at Crab Catchers on the Waterfront. As Fatini mentioned, it is the best seafood on the Grand Strand, bar none. Fatini, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
We are joined by Robert Hale, mixed martial arts standout from X3 in Atlanta, Georgia, and he prepares to face Sid Wheeler at Valor Fights 45. Robert, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
We're always excited, man, to have fresh blood on the podcast, and this will be your first time joining us. And so, you know, before we get into the fight, before we get into, you know, what we got coming up and what we're promoting and what we're hyping, this will be the first time that we've had Robert on a Valor event. Actually, the first time we've had anyone from X3 on a Valor event, but we've got a few coming up with him. So we're really pumped to have you guys is coming up and fighting. We know you're going to enjoy it, and we know we're going to continue this relationship. Talk to our listeners a little bit about your background for, you know, this first time you've been up here fighting with us. You know, if the people that are kind of your faithful that follow the scene up here, you know, they know your opponent. Tell them a little bit about yourself.
You know, I'm not really your average Joe. I'm pretty different. I'm working on a goal to be the greatest, which, you know, I know millions of people are trying to do, but I see myself standing out out of the millions. You know, kid from, was born in Columbus, Georgia, moved to Douglasville. I was pretty good at football standout, went to college, stopped playing football in college, for, academic reasons, kind of fell out of the football scene for a minute. Then kind of ran into X3 when I saw Clint Hester fighting on The Ultimate Fighter. Me and my dad and my little brother was actually sitting down in the living room, and my dad kind of looked at me and chuckled, and she was like, I believe you can do that. And I started laughing, you know, out of disbelief, because, you know, I wouldn't imagine myself to fight anybody or to compete in the sport of mixed martial arts. But I actually started thinking about it, and then I just said, man, what the hell? I'm going to jump into it. But, you know, if I jump into it, I'm going to really commit to it. I'm not going to just half-ass it, you know. I got a goal. I got statements to make. You know, I got dreams to achieve. And I got, you know, I got people depending on me. So I'm in this for it all. I'm all in. And, you know, I love that, you know, what mixed martial arts has done for my life. It's pretty awesome. And, you know, I started my amateur career maybe 3 years ago, you know, made my debut, got a couple of like knockouts on my belt. You know, that's when everybody started really taking me more seriously. And then it goes on from there. You know, I won 2 titles for NFC, the 170 and the 155. And then turned pro. And now, you know, I'm about to make more history when I beat Sid.
Case. I was just going to say, you know, when we put this fight together, a lot of I was worried at first because, you know, your record only being 1-1 as a pro, I was like, man, are people going to give him any kind of chance here against Sid? Because, you know, his record, he doesn't have the fights. Then I was like, you know, he's a pretty decorated amateur, you know, multiple title holder as an amateur, a very seasoned amateur, been fighting actually MMA longer than Sid. And, you know, I called my first fight of yours at Conflict. Casey and I got to call that one, and I'd seen you already in person. I'm like, man, this guy's good. You know, this guy's a beast. He's confident. He's game. I was like, I think it could be good. We started talking it out to you and Nate and some other people, and they're like, man, I think that Robert might be a bit of an underdog, but that kid comes to scrap. He comes to fight, and he's going to bring it, and he's got a good chance to knock Sid out. So I was like, man, I think we could pull this off. You know, I think we could probably make this a fight that we can sell as a main event. And so far, so good, man. I'm really stoked for it because you're both characters, and I think that this will be for Sid, you're probably the fastest person that he's fought. You know, Sid generally has the speed advantage fighting as the smaller guy, against bigger guys at 185. And so I think you'll be the first person that can match that speed potentially.
Yeah, it won't just be the speed either. It's going to be the power. It's going to be the movement, everything, you know. Not really worried about, you know, what he has or what he brings to the table. I'm going to bring what I bring to the table. And if what I bring to the table is not what he is expecting, then Sid will be on the ground in the first round, most definitely.
You know, Tim mentioned the Conflict 43 bout against Nick Wesley. And I, you know, in our preview show, some people, you know, there were people out there that kind of, you know, it was hard for them to pick. Some people actually had you as the underdog in that fight against Nick Wesley. And you came in and you really delivered. You looked great. You move well. You've got great head movement, a very, very dynamic character. And as Tim said, you are going into this fight, as far as numbers are concerned, as the underdog. But we've seen this in mixed martial arts that the numbers can often, tell a false tale, because even Sid himself stepped into his first mixed martial arts bout ever as a professional, and he fought Jesse Grun, who was beyond decorated, who was beyond a veteran of mixed martial arts, and of course he got the win there, and he went on to win like 4 more straight. So I think that definitely changes things up. Being the underdog, okay, does that help you? Does that help to catapult you forward and kind of give you a chip on your shoulder? Or do you just not listen to any of the talk and you just your tunnel vision regardless?
Listen, man, I've been doubted damn near my entire life. I've always come on top. I always prove them wrong. They can laugh all they want. They can write me off all they want. It doesn't matter. Numbers, I'm 1-1. Oh, okay. He's 6-2, coming off a 6-second knockout win. Okay. I'm still gonna do the same exact thing. Everything I bring to the table, he will not be able to stop. My movement, my damn sure if he takes a punch to the chin, it's over with. All automatically it's over with. And, you know, I feel like, you know, I'm just so well-rounded, and I'm just getting better. It's not like I'm it's not like I'm declining. I'm only getting better. I haven't even reached my prime yet, and I'm already getting, you know, I'm already getting, you know, good looks. You know, I'm getting, you know, props from you two yourself. You know, which is an honor. You know, I just feel like everything is almost lining up, and you know, this fight, you know, this fight is big. Yes, it's huge. You know, it's huge for me. I get to come to Tennessee, finally fight for Valor, and I get to shout the world on Flow Combat. It's no better feeling than that with my teammates. You know,
I'm not the main event.
It's not just gonna be me. Yeah, it's not just gonna be me coming. It's gonna be, you know, I got Joe Bradley coming. I got Shamel Finley coming. I got, you know, y'all. Of course, y'all know Cole Farrell. You know what a character he is. He's one of the most amazing people I ever, you know, met. You know, Cole is like my brother. You know, me and that man, you know, I feel like when we first met, I knew him from day one. So, you know, I bring a lot to the table, and I know, you know, a lot of people are sleeping on this fight because of my record, my so-called record. But it's all good. It's really all good, because everybody can be laughing right now. But October 21st, I want to see how many laughs go on. I want to see what happens. I really want to see what happens. I really, I cannot wait to shock the world. Like, there's no other objective, you know. I know, once I'm done with Sid, I'm taking over the 170 and 155 division. Doesn't matter who you put me against, I'm going to finish them. You know, I got a lot of stuff to prove.
I love your attitude, man.
It starts with Sid.
I love your attitude. I really does. It gets me excited. I kind of sit here and just kind of got chill bumps just getting excited for this thing all over again. And I need to get ready to go to bed soon. So,
yeah,
you know, that got me pumped up. But, you know, I got to say, you know, when we saw you fight on Conflict there, you were fighting in the other guy's backyard again then, you know what I mean? And I could see that didn't shake you at all. If anything, you kind of fed on it, you know, and it really seemed to kind of ramp you up, and you really dominated the guy. Honestly, I felt like there probably were two 10-8 rounds there, you know, could have been stopped very easily. And again, you were in the other guy's backyard. So I don't think you're going to be fazed by the atmosphere coming in with a rowdy Sid Wheeler crowd on you. If anything, I could see it potentially, you know, revving you up.
Oh yeah. When I caught Nick Leslie, man, I do want to apologize. I should have finished it. You know, that performance, you know, I felt a little rusty. You know, I wasn't nervous for my pro career, but making my pro debut, but I feel like, you know, I felt like it was different. You know, I just wish I would have finished Nick Leslie. I know I'm better than that. I'm way better than that. And, you know, again, the next time y'all see me, it will be different. You will see a whole nother different Robert. You know, every fight I get better. Every fight I learn. Every fight I get, I'm just what they call a freak of nature, man. I adapt to different situations. So, you know, Sid, and it's not like Sid will be bigger than me. Me and Sid will probably be the same weight, same weight during the fight night. It won't be no different. He won't be stronger than me. If that is anybody's concern, you know, I know for a fact, for like 100% fact, that he has no advantages over me except that he's 6-2. That's it. Other than that, we are equal. And I'm really giving him credit for saying we equal. I'm pretty much above Sid. It's going to be proven. Everybody says that, oh, well, Sid's only lost to, you know, the people that have progressed to UFC. Okay. That doesn't matter. It still does not matter, because in the end of the day, there's different types of people. There are people that are going to lay down, and there's people that's going to actually propel over the obstacles, propel over what people don't, with the doubters. I'm one of them people who keeps propelling over the doubters, and I'm going to continue to propel over the doubters. Yeah, write me off with Sid. That's fine. I think he's going to knock me out. That's fine. I guarantee you, Sid has never been hit as hard as I hit people. I guarantee you, he's never been that hit hard. People may say, oh, okay, Sid fought bigger people. Okay. Okay. I fought bigger people too. It was a time I fought 185 too in my life. And that's what people don't understand.
Well, Robert, real quick, I'm going to give you opportunity to give shout-outs where they're due, show the love and appreciation for those that have helped you get where you are and where you're going, as well as your social media plugs. We need your Facebook, your Twitter, Instagram. That way we can get everybody headed your way and following what's going on with Robert Hale leading up to this big fight.
Well, you know, I want to shout out to him. First of all, I want to shout out to my fiance. She's eight for me. About the bad and the good. She stays supporting me. I want to shout out to my best friend who's done the same, stays supporting me no matter what, always been on my ear telling me to keep going. I want to shout out to my teammates, you know, Nate, Joe Bradley, Joe Elmore, Jonathan Kiros, Shamil Finley, Darian Perry, you know, Cole Farrell, Abraham. My coaches, Gabriel Katober, Tony Tucci, Isidore, Bruno. No, I really want to shout out to them because they really have propelled my level. And also, my Instagram is Blue King MMA. It's that simple. My Facebook is Robert Hale III. It's that simple. Y'all go follow me. And I'm really excited for this main event. I'm really excited to go in and make shit happen, man. I'm really going in here, you know. Whatever Sid says he's going to do, whatever people say he's going to do, none of that shit is going to happen. He has to force himself to believe he's going to beat me. I know I'm going to beat him. It's nothing in my mind but beating him. I've had my visions over and over and over again, and none of my visions leave the first round. I'm not leaving the first round, and I'm not forcing the first round. I train for wars, but I know I know the fight's going to end quick. That's just my motto. I train for wars, but I know the fight's going to end quick because they can't handle the power. They can't handle it. I got dynamites. I got dynamites in both of my hands. I just wish I could fight right now. That's just how excited I am.
Robert Hale returns to action October 21st as he faces Sid Wheeler at Valor Fights 45. That is the main event. Robert, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you so much for having me, man. I really, really appreciate this. Mr. Tim, thank you. You know, Mr. Casey, thank you. I promise you, Valor 45 will be the shit. I guarantee you it will be the shit.
That does it for a great lineup of guests, as well as another episode of the Valor Hour. Join us next week for more discussion on the biggest news in combat sports from across the world. Please remember to share this broadcast and subscribe at Apple Podcasts and Stitcher. We appreciate all the likes, but we need your shares and subscription. For myself and Valor Fights President Tim Loy, thanks so much for listening, and join us next week for another episode of the Valor Hour.
For more information on upcoming events, visit ValorFights.com or find them at Valor Fights on both Facebook and Twitter. This has been the Valor Hour, powered by the law offices of Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl on Radio Influence. This is a Sitting Ringside with David Penzer, Quick Fix, on Radio Influence.
Right now, it's my pleasure to welcome one of the humblest guys in the business, and I know this is overstated, one of the nicest guys in the business, and that term gets thrown around way too much, although not about me, it doesn't. But ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Ray Glacier Lloyd. When did you get to know Dusty real well? When did that take place?
Well, yeah, ironically, you know, growing up, I mean, I was, you know, even though my brother and I were huge, you know, Briscoe Brothers fans, I was big fans of Dusty and Evel Knievel. And if you were a kid in the 70s, you know, Dusty and Evel Knievel were kind of like the everybody loved them, you know. And so when I came to WCW, ironically, I didn't get a chance to really get to know Dustin that well. You know, just where our paths just crossed in that sense, you know. I mean, I met him and I'd say, hey, but I was really intimidated by it, you know, because he was freaking Dusty Rhodes. And once again, when he left in 2000, he was talking to Dallas. You know, of course, anybody that knows Dallas's story knows that Dusty was basically Dallas's mentor. And he said, this is how he told it to me, was that he was talking to Dallas and he said, I need like a right-hand guy to help me run my company. Who do you recommend? And he said, talk to Ray Lloyd. And he said, I think he'd be, you know, he knew how much I liked that. I'll never forget. I was driving up at my house and my Grand Cherokee at the time. I was pulling into my driveway and my little flip phone cell phone rings. It might have even been a flip phone back then. It might have been a cheaper one than that. But I of course didn't recognize the number, so I just answered it. And he said, Raymond. He was calling me Raymond from day one. I said, yes. I said, who's this? He said, it's American Dream Dusty Rhodes. And I was just like, yeah, I thought someone was joking with me. I said, I was like, really, Dreams, is you? And he's like, yeah. He said, I'm opening up my own promotion. He said, and I want to talk to you about being a part of it. He said, can you come down here and meet me? He's already got an office, you know, right? And he eventually ended up calling it Turnbuckle Towers, which is a pretty cool name for it. So I go to meet him. Of course I went to meet him, you know, and he gave me the whole story. He's like, you know, it's always been my dream to run my own promotion. It's going to be called Turnbuckle Entertainment. The wrestling will be called Turnbuckle Championship Wrestling. I need somebody that I can trust to kind of be my right-hand guy to help me run the training center, help me book, you know, run the locker room while I book the shows, you know, do everything. And he said, you know, I'll teach you everything I know. I just need to know that you'll give it 100%. And, of course, you know, I think I said yes before he finished getting all that out of his mouth.
Sitting Ringside with David Penzer can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.